Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. A fictional letter from Mary to her son Jesus. Dear son, it's come to my attention that you are now running around with that crazy cousin of yours, John. That overaged hippie is running through the wilderness on one of those fad diets, and you know how bad they are for you, and screaming at people and yelling repent and brood of vipers. Is that any way to behave? The only thing worse is if you start hanging out with Pharisees and Sadducees and tax collectors and prostitutes. Come on, son. Why don't you settle down, marry a nice Jewish girl, and let's have some grandchildren. Beloved mother, Mary. Well, no such letter exists, though in my imagination I can imagine that Mary probably had that kind of inclination. Because don't we have that image of John the Baptist? You know, this wacky guy going through the wilderness, screaming at people and yelling at people, all doom and gloom and all that stuff. It used to be, when I was a little bit younger, when I heard the word John the Baptist, I thought of the guy on Sports Square in Harrisonburg, who, especially in the 80s, I hear he's still around occasionally, would scream at cars as they went by, repent, the world's coming to end, repent. You couldn't get around the court square, you know, without this guy screaming at you to repent, 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 the world's coming to an end. The world hadn't come to an end yet, so, you know, who knows these things. But you've got to think about this a little bit. If that's all there is to John the Baptist, is doom and gloom, then why do we include it in the Bible? Why would we bother to have him part of the Christmas story? In fact, I once preached, and you may remember that we ought to put a John the Baptist figure in the creche because he's an important part of this whole scene. Let's redeem, if we can use that word, or at least straighten out John the Baptist a little bit. We'll start with his name. His names were very, very important in the biblical times, as you probably gathered from our emphasis on names. And remember, John the Baptist was named by God himself, not by his parents, if you remember the story. So, yeah, his name mattered in something. Well, John, Johann, and really in the basic, means beloved of or bearer of God's mercy. Now, God didn't give John that name if all he was going to do was scream at people and yell at people, you know. So there's got to be more to it. Let's take a look a little closer at John the Baptist. The first thing to note, and I want you to hear this clearly, is you'll notice John the Baptist is not speaking to the world. He's speaking to the religious people, you know. He's not screaming at everybody outside the world to repent. He's screaming at those of us within the cycle of the church or the body of the church, the people of Israel. It's the religious people God often has the most trouble with in this world. Because we tend to be kind of proud of ourselves, a little bit haughty. We think we know what God's up to. You know, we tend sometimes, I hate to say it, but it's true. Pastors are the worst offenders at this, so I have to throw myself in here. Preach down to people. That's not. John the Baptist cuts that to the quick, very quickly. You know, as Jesus does. Jesus argued more with religious people. Got along very great with prostitutes, tax collectors, Romans, all the outcasts of the world, the people he had trouble with were the religious people. So this message is spoken to us to hear, more so than the greater wide world. We are the ones who are called upon to be bearers of God's mercy and greatness, just as John was named to be so. We're the ones who ought to have our ears open and our eyes wider and our antennas up, as I've said before, whatever modern metaphor you have for that, to be alert to how God might be coming into our world today, just as the people then didn't think he would, but God was coming into their world with a message of hope and grace. Sometimes, I think we're sort of like, you know, and I don't justify this and don't say that you ought to do this, but sometimes, don't you know, sometimes you're driving a while and you kind of get that little glaze in your eyes, a little drool starts coming down the corner of your mouth. And the little thing on your car goes, meep, meep, meep. You know, when you get out of line, it kind of beeps at you and flashes lights. Do you have one of those in your car? I do, and I'm glad I do. Because it helps me pay attention. That's what John the Baptist is doing. He's kind of warning us that we're kind of getting off the track here. We're kind of going through life as though we're not paying attention to what's going on. And we need to be alert to that. We need to be alert to staying in the lane, because if you drive off to the side, who knows what might happen. And that's why John the Baptist looks weird and acts weird. Because you act a little strange, people notice you. They may not like you, but they're going to notice you. And John was trying to get the religious people's attention. That they needed to shape up. That they were doing harm to themselves and others by the fact that they had lost their way to understanding what God was about. And that's where repent comes in. Repent is not a bad word. We kind of use it that way as the people who holler and repent are crazy. The word itself comes from the Greek word metanoi, which means to change direction. As in, I'm going this way, I'd be better off going that way. And rather than letting our ego and our self-worth get in the way that we can't admit that we're wrong, repentance means having the courage to admit that you're wrong sometimes and turn around and go where you need to go. That's all it means. That's the implication of it. Is that sometimes, and I think it's why I've spoken to those religious people, we're just so sure that we know what God's going to do that we aren't paying attention to the way God's trying to steer us, which is not the way we want to go sometimes. We want to go to where it's safe and comfortable, where we know what God's going to be doing. God sends us out into the world among the people we don't like and don't know to proclaim good news. No wonder Jesus hung out with tax collectors and sinners. He probably got along a lot better with them than some of the religious people of his day. And I say this, including myself. Don't hear this as saying I'm better than that. I have my moments of too much judgment, too much certainty, not opening my ears to hear. Because we all can wander through life, you know, just bopping down the road. But that doesn't mean we're on the right highway. It doesn't mean we're going where we want to be going. It could be that we're doing things and heading in directions that are harmful to ourselves and others. And we need some kind of a little alarm to go flash at us or beep at us or something and say, just swallow your pride a little bit. Turn around. Because when we do, what we discover is that God has been walking with us even when we've been walking away from God. One of the famous stories in the Bible is the prodigal son. And that's what it's about. The son literally has a repentance. Not because he gets a religious moment, but because he realizes he can get fed. His life is better if he turns back to the Father. And when he turns, he never makes it home. He never gets to grovel at his father's feet. His father runs, hugs him, throws the robe over him, has the feast. This is the message of Advent. That we are that special to God. That God will come after us. That God sends the John the Baptist. And there's some of them in our world too, I'm sure. We don't like them either when they holler at us. But maybe, just maybe, every now and then, something gets through. The dull moment, as they call it. And we just stop. Before we even get back in the other direction, the guarantee is that God is there with us already. Welcoming us whenever we turn away from the things that harm us and others. Whenever we turn back to where home truly is, our time and relationship with God. This is why this seems harsh. And part of that's that fire imagery. You know, we don't do a good enough job in the church to really talk about fire. Maybe I'll do a series on that some days. Because in the Bible, fire can, yes, be destructive, but most of the time, it's not destructive fire. You know when you first encountered fire in the Bible? Moses. Third chapter. The bush that burns but is not consumed. In other words, God's fire burns us. It's kind of a refiner's fire. That's what we talk about in the Old Testament a lot. It's the one that burns off the impurities. It doesn't burn us, consume us, or punishes us. But God wants to take away from us all those things that cause us pain and harm and do it to each other. And sometimes our ego is so strong it hurts us to give up those things even when we know they're wrong. But God wants to purify us. God wants us to stop running away. To just stop, or at least slow down enough to recognize His mercy and grace active in our lives. Because you see, that's where the people around us in the outside world are going to learn about this Jesus that we proclaim. It's going to make Christmas more than just tinsel on the tree or lights in the window, as important as those are as images to us, about the real coming of God into the midst of life, our lives, every day, and how what a wonderful blessing we could be to the world around us. So yeah, we need the John the Baptist. And maybe we need, like this little story at the beginning said, not to be so sure and so certain of the way God's are doing things. Because every day in our baptism is an opportunity to stop and begin to turn. And to allow God to wrap His arms around us in mercy and kindness And in our living out that turning, we are a visible sign to the world of God coming. Coming for our sakes and coming for the sake of everybody in the world. So let's put John back in the creche. Let's put John back in our lives. Let's not be fearful of that. But recognize that as a calling to turn. For this day, we may yet turn and see God's arms awaiting us. Amen.